Hey friends, welcome to the Her God Story podcast. I'm your host, Jody Caracosta, ministry leader at Somebody Cares America and International, author and traveler on this journey with Jesus. I'm so glad you tuned in to this episode. I know you will be encouraged, inspired, and equipped today in your walk with the Lord. Have you downloaded your free 6-week devotional on women of the Bible at hergodstory.org? If not, make sure you get it. God will use it to minister to you in so many ways. We also have a 12-week devotional on women of the Bible that you can purchase for just $12, and all the proceeds will go to our widow and orphan fund. So check them out. If this is your first time listening, I hope you will enjoy it and check out other inspiring episodes. Every one of them has a powerful message of how God is working in lives of people just like you. And please tell your friends about Her God Story so they can be encouraged in their faith too. The spiritual world is real. Angels, demons, heaven, hell, those are all real. God operates in the supernatural realm. That is a realm beyond what our natural senses perceive. So it's normal for us to be curious and want to find out more. God even welcomes that interest as long as it is focused on Him and Him alone. He gives some very clear instructions about interacting with the supernatural realm in the Bible. Those who do not heed His word regarding supernatural things can open a door in their lives for the attacks of Satan. And he's the one who kills, steals, and destroys. So let's take a look at some of God's instructions about the supernatural realm and then hear some stories of people who have had supernatural encounters. When the people of Israel were getting ready to enter the Promised Land, God gave them some guidance through Moses. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 13 in the NLT reads, "Be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering." I'll stop there for a minute and comment. None of you, I'm sure, have ever considered burning your children as a worship to some god. It's unthinkable, but this warning begins the list. So the rest of the items on the list are equally detestable to God. I'll continue reading. "And do not let your people practice fortune telling, or use sorcery, or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or function as mediums, or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you." These things all fall under the category of the occult. So what are some of the modern day versions of the things listed? I came across an article by John Piper that defines the occult and also lists some elements of it. I hope it will help you determine other activities that also fall in this list so you can stay away from them as well. John Piper, in his blog, Jesus versus the Occult, says, "I designate anything as belonging to the occult that involves dealings with the world of spirits or of supernatural forces, which dealings are not oriented on Jesus, as he is revealed in the Bible. With this definition, I am assuming the reality of a spiritual world and of mysterious supranormal forces. I'm assuming that the church makes a grave mistake when it says that supernatural phenomena are restricted to another age or that only godly people can work miracles. Such a mistake lays the church open to the power of evil precisely because it refuses to recognize the presence of that power. This definition is also intentionally very broad. I mean to include everything from the most blatant Satan worship to the most commonly accepted use of horoscopes. As examples, I would mention seances, necromancy, and all forms of communicating with the dead, PSI, ESP, and all forms of supernatural psychic phenomena, real magic, as opposed to sleight of hand tricks, fortune telling, the casting of spells, wearing of charms, the use of Ouija boards, astrology, etc." John Piper goes on to explain that our involvement in the occult belittles God in our eyes, while exalting mankind. It belittles God because our actions tell him that we believe he is inadequate to reveal mysteries or to truly protect and care for us. Instead, those who dabble or delve into the occult look to Satan and his demons for answers, protection, and pleasure. And when you invite Satan to give you anything, he can come in and torment you in many ways, unless and until you close that door. I heard the Deuteronomy scripture when I was a young girl, very thankfully, and I took it seriously. I no longer wanted to participate in Halloween, which glorifies witches, ghosts, and supernatural forces that are not of God. When friends pulled out a Ouija board, I went home. I never looked at a horoscope, even for fun. I did not go to movies or watch TV shows that glorified the occult themes. I still don't. You might think it's all just fun and games, but the supernatural realm is very real, and God does not think it is fun. He knows how harmful involvement in the occult is to you and your relationship with Him. I certainly do not judge you for your choices. Only God can do that. But know that all choices have consequences. So be aware that when you are making choices for you and your family, you are the one who gets the consequences, good or bad. 1 Samuel 28 tells a very interesting story about the occult. Samuel, the prophet of the king, had died, so King Saul could not get counsel from him anymore. Of course, there were priests serving the Lord and other prophets of the Lord in the land, but Saul really did not want to hear from the Lord. He wanted to hear from Samuel. Now, Saul himself had banned all witches, mediums, and spiritists from the land, as the Lord had told the people of Israel to do. But Saul snuck out one night and found a medium, a woman who was known to be able to communicate with the spirits of the dead. Some translations refer to her as the Witch of Endor. Saul convinced her to call Samuel up from the dead so he could talk to Samuel. And she was actually able to do it. Verses 15 through 19 record the conversation dead Samuel has with Saul. Not long after that encounter, Saul went into battle and was killed. 1 Chronicles 10:13 tells us why. The NLT reads, "Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance." I tell you this to convince you of the reality of the spiritual world and that there are very real consequences. Nadine Nesbitt is an engineer, very analytical, not prone to hysteria or mystical thoughts. So when demonic creatures showed up in her room, she was terrified, and the power of God was the only answer. Take a listen to her story.
Well, I was in my mid to late 20s when a young man invited me on a date to a place called Magic Island. And it was an entertainment type venue where they had magic shows, illusionists. They also had a room where they had what I describe now as different occultic services that they offered. They had a tarot card reader. There was a Ouija board table that you could play. There was a place to get your palm read, all that type of stuff that was in there. My date had decided to get his palm read and he wanted me to do it with him. But quite frankly, that dark atmosphere kind of creeped me out. And so I declined, you know, but he went ahead and did it. But later that night, after I came home, I turned the lights out in my room and was just settling into falling asleep when all of a sudden demonic creatures appeared in my room. I could see them physically with my eyes. I hadn't been drinking. I didn't do drugs. They were a reality. They were there. They were right in front of my face. So something followed me home that day. And there were a lot of small creatures that were flying around the room, but there was one large head that appeared at the foot of my bed. I would describe it now, years later, as the face that you would see on one of those orcs from Lord of the Rings. It was very grotesque, very ugly, and very scary. So that kind of freaked me out.
And so what did your scientific mind think?
I didn't know what to think. I just got up out of bed. I turned on the lights. I was scared, quite frankly. And so what I did was I had a Bible. It was one of those Bibles with the zipper around the edges. And I put it on the pillow next to me because I thought it would protect me. You know, I never opened it. It was still zippered up, but it was on my pillow next to me for protection. And then I decided to turn on the TV to a Christian channel. I just had that Christian channel on. And I slept that way for close to a year. I had the Christian TV going on in the background and never really sat down to listen to it. It was on because I thought that would offer me some time, protection.
Yeah. So, I mean, deep in your heart, you knew that there was a spiritual realm, but you didn't really want to go there.
Right. Exactly. I didn't want to investigate. I didn't know how to investigate, and I'd never heard of anything like that before. So, yeah, you're right. So, but one day, I often did shift work, working in mission control, because you work around the clock supporting shuttle missions. And I had one of my colleagues that lived in the same apartment complex, and he noticed that my light was on all night. You know, every time he passed by my apartment after his shift was over, he would notice, I don't know why, he would notice my light was on. So he actually stopped me one day at work and said, "Nadine, are you afraid of the dark?" Well, yes, but I couldn't tell him that. So I decided that I was being crazy. And I decided that night I was going to turn my light off and sleep like a normal person. And when I did, those demonic creatures reappeared in my room. But this time they were, I would say, more aggressive. They actually came to me as I laid in bed, and I felt a shove. I actually, my body was moving. So there was some kind of real entity in my room shoving me, moving me. So even though all that time of having that Christian TV on the TV, I never sat and listened to it, I was hearing it. I was hearing what they were saying. And one of the things I remembered in that moment was someone had said on that Christian TV that there's power in the name of Jesus. So I called out. I shouted, "Jesus." And the instant I did, those creatures left my room. They were gone. In an instant. It was very, very powerful display of the power of the name of Jesus.
And you still didn't know him as your savior, but use of his name.
Just the use of his name was so very powerful. When that happened, I jumped out of bed, of course, because now I was excited because I had learned the power of Jesus' name. And so I thought, I need to know more about this Jesus. Bolted out of bed, turned on the TV, and there was Paul Crouch on TVN. And he was quoting from Isaiah 64. He's saying, "All our righteous acts are like filthy rags." And then he quoted from Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Well, I was arrogant enough to just have this thought come into my head that he couldn't be possibly talking about me. Well, I thought, I didn't sin. I was a good girl. You know, what is he talking about? When have I ever sinned? These are the questions that were going in my mind. And then it happened. I found myself in a white room with God sitting on his throne in front of me. I didn't actually see God. I just knew that it was God that was sitting in front of me. The Lord suddenly gave me a life review. It started with my childhood. It seemingly lasted for hours, but I had these flashbacks of every place that I had fallen short of the glory of God. And it just wrecked me. It just left me on the floor in a puddle, weeping. I was having some carpet time at that time. And it really did seem like it went on for hours and hours, as you can imagine a life review would. But then I started feeling a sense of despair, like, what can I do now? And so that's what I asked. I said, well, what can I do now? And what can I do to be saved? And just as I was thinking that, I heard Paul Crouch's voice, and he said, "You might be thinking right now, what can I do to be saved?" And then he led in a prayer of repentance and of salvation. So that night, I became a new creature in Christ. When I prayed that prayer and asked the Lord to become my Lord.
Wow.
I knew him personally now.
And did those creatures ever come back?
They never came back. Never, never, never. No.
Before Nadine knew Christ, she was tormented by demons after just visiting a place where the occult was practiced. Once she gave her life to the Lord, however, they did not bother her again. But Satan will take every opportunity he can to target Christians as well as unbelievers. So we need to know how to stand against his attacks. Mary Nelson learned how to do that when Satan tried to do his destructive work in her life. Let's hear her story. So during that time, you also began to learn about spiritual warfare and Christ's power in us to defeat the works of Satan. What were a couple of those experiences?
Debbie and Mark started going to a Christian school when they were in middle school. And one of the things they did was have Bible class, and they were studying the Word of God, and they studied about Old Testament and New Testament. One of the things they studied was about the occult, not to be involved in it. Well, we had purchased a beautiful globe bar when we were in Europe. And one day the children were standing around the globe bar looking at it and noticed that there was signs of the zodiac on this, all over this bar. And they pointed it out to us and were aghast that we would have such a thing in our house. So we decided we better get rid of it. So we took all the liquor out, put it in the cupboard. At that time, we still weren't convicted about drinking, but we got rid of that globe bar, put it out in the driveway, and our neighbor happened to see it. And she came over and said, asked what we were doing with it. And Dad said, we were going to get rid of it. And she said, well, can I buy it? He said, oh, no. She said, well, how about if I buy it and you could donate the money to your church? And he said, oh, no, I would not sell a snake to a friend. So he put that glow bar in the back of the car and took it out to the Kent's home where people were gathering together their occultic things. And we were going to have a bonfire like the book of Acts spoke about.
I remember that bonfire. In addition to that globe, we also went through the house, and anything that we felt convicted about, we pulled it off the shelf, books or, you know, albums or cassette tapes or.
And you pulled out the Halloween clothes and Halloween things to get rid of that. No one told you about that one, Jody. You just did that on your own.
Yeah, we were
convicted at six.
Convicted that, you know, we didn't want anything to do with anything related to Satan, demonic forces, and we got rid of it out of our house. And there was a change in the environment in our home after that.
Yeah, there definitely was. There was a time that I hired a piano tuner. We had purchased an old upright German grand piano when we were in England, which you children took piano lessons on. So when we moved back to Tampa, after moving across the ocean and coming into a different climate, that piano needed to be retuned. So I had asked Dad if we could have it retuned, and he didn't say anything in the time that I thought he should. So I just went ahead and hired someone on my own without even asking him. I just did it. Well, the man came out that I hired, and as he was tuning the piano, he would visit with me, and he would tell me about these seances that he was attending and some of the weird things that were going on, although he thought they were wonderful. He told me a lot of occultic things, and I would try and squeeze in little testimonies about the Lord, but he was more determined to talk about seances. So after that day of tuning, he said he'd like to come back in 2 weeks after you children had played the piano for a while and the keys were, or the strings were stretched, and he would readjust the tuning. So in 2 weeks he came back, and of course there was more stories about the seances and occultic experiences. And anyway, after that I paid him and he left. But that night, during the night, I developed a severe side ache, which bothered me all night long and into the next day. So I called a friend and asked for prayer, and her husband came out that afternoon. He was in ministry. He prayed for me, and then he suggested that Dad pray through our house. So after he left and Dad came home, we had dinner and went on to bed. And during the night, that side ache started getting so bad, I woke up and encouraged him to take me to the emergency room. So as he was getting dressed to take me to the emergency room, a scripture reference came to my attention, and I didn't know what it said. I just knew what the reference was, and it was from Chronicles. I think it was 2 Chronicles 16:2. So I asked Dad if he would please read the Bible just to see what it said. So he stopped getting dressed and he read this scripture. And the scripture said, Esau, talking about King Esau, he became diseased in his feet and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians, and he died. Mm. And after he read that, I thought, maybe we better not go to the hospital. Maybe we just better pray. And then I remembered our friend suggesting that I have Gary walk around the house and pray. So I mentioned it to him, and he did. He walked around the house to pray. And as he got into our living room near the piano, the hairs on his arms and legs stood up like static electricity. He could feel it. Mm. So anyway, he just prayed around the circle of our house, you know, walking around. And every time he came past that piano through the living room, he could sense that sensation of static electricity. But as he prayed and commanded spiritual forces of wickedness to leave in the name of Jesus, it became less and less and less, and finally it was gone. So he came back to bed, told me what happened, and we both went to sleep. A couple hours later, I woke up, and I just felt like the Lord let me know that I was healed. And I was. It was gone. So I did have a spiritual lesson on that one.
Yeah, and it's not that you're against going to the doctors.
I mean, not at all.
We've all gone to the doctor, but you know, since then, but this was, you know, seeking the Lord, and it was a spiritual issue. It was a spiritual attack on you that had been opened up by that piano tuner experience.
Well, actually, Jody, what the Lord showed me and reminded me that I had ordered that sterling silver in England without asking Dad. And here I had hired a piano tuner without asking him. But I had been hearing that I should respect and honor my husband and, you know, learn submission. But I also heard that God healed. So we experienced that night spiritual warfare. I had opened myself up to that by doing something that I shouldn't have done, by hiring that man to come and tune the piano.
Yeah, not that hiring a piano tuner was wrong, but
no,
you
it
were
was my attitude.
You were doing it out of
defiance.
Yeah.
Yes. So I learned that, and I also learned that God healed and he loved me.
Yeah.
And he forgave me.
And that encounter with really laid a foundation of understanding of how to address spiritual forces that we needed a couple years later when we lived in Utah.
That's right, Jody. We moved into a haunted house, actually purchased a haunted house unknowingly. We didn't realize it was haunted, but I experienced depression in that house. And sometimes during the day when everyone else was gone, I just felt like crying. It was not like me. And then Debbie was experiencing insomnia. She was on the swim team in high school and needed her sleep, but she couldn't sleep well. So it was a real strain for her to participate on the swim team without sleeping. And then one night, Mark, whose basement was down in the lower part of the house in the basement, came upstairs to the bathroom. And when he was going back down the steps, he just sensed that if he went down those steps, he'd go crazy. And Mark wasn't like that. He was a very stable, sharp guy. So he came upstairs to our bedroom and explained to us what was happening. So we just told him to go sleep in one of the other single beds upstairs and we'd pray about it. Well, we did pray about it. And while we were praying, this was Dad and I, when we were praying, we had a mini vision of imps with coal sacks on their backs. So we felt like maybe the next day we should just pray through our house, which we did do. All five of us prayed through our house, starting down in the basement right next to the furnace, which had been a coal furnace at one time and converted to a gas furnace.
Yeah, we actually had a coal room back
in
there.
We did, and it was a storage room. So we actually started praying in that storage room and commanded those spiritual forces of wickedness and named them according to what we felt like they were, commanded them to leave in the name of Jesus, walked through every room of the house doing the same thing. Then we anointed the doors with oil and went to the ends of our property, each corner of the property, anointed it with oil and prayed scripture over each one, dedicating our property and home to the Lord, and peace returned.
As believers, we have authority to stand against the attacks of the enemy, but we must make sure that we have closed any spiritual doors that may have opened knowingly or unknowingly. As Mary shared, my family got rid of occultic items we had all around our home. things that were purchased before we even came to Christ. But like the Christians in Acts 19, once we realized that the occult was a doorway for Satan, we got rid of it all. My mom also repented of times when she had looked at horoscopes and played with Ouija boards when she was young, and that closed the spiritual access Satan had into our lives. And we had the authority given to us by Jesus to command Satan in Jesus' name to get out and stay out. Ephesians 6:12 in the New Living Translation tells us, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." So these things should not surprise us or even scare us. James 4:7 instructs us to humble ourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is exactly what Mary and our family did. We humbled ourselves by getting rid of the things the Lord directed us to get rid of. Then we could resist the devil effectively, so he had to flee. And in Luke 10:19 in the New Living Translation, Jesus says, "I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." You remember from Genesis, of course, that Satan was referred to as a serpent. So Jesus has given us authority over him and all his power, as long as we stay submitted to Christ. God also sends angels to care for us. Luke 4:11 tells of angels that cared for Jesus after he resisted the temptations of Satan in the wilderness. Sometimes angels are sent to announce his plans, like they did to Daniel, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Zechariah, and others. They also come to guard and protect us, as it says in Psalm 91, verses 11 through 12. The NLT reads, "For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hand so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." And while angels are supernatural beings, we certainly should never worship them. Colossians 2:18 warns against that. Angels are clearly active on the earth today, although most of us will probably never visibly see them. We can trust, however, that God has sent them for our benefit. A few people I know have actually encountered angels. Victoria Sarvati is one of them. Listen to this and be encouraged.
This was my death experience. I was in intensive care. They were working hard to stabilize me. Apparently, something went wrong and I started coding. And I started falling what I say is my time in space, my time in this life, my time in this world. What I'm going to say doesn't make a whole lot of sense in the natural, because it was spiritual. There's hardly any words to explain. Sometimes what I say, some people say it sounds New Age. It's not New Age. It was an experience that was supernatural. That's all I can tell you. But it's like I fell through my own universe. I fell through congruent lines of time and space that were mine. What do I mean by that? Well, we live in time and space. God lives in timelessness outside of time. And he gives each of us a time to live and a time to die. As I was going through what I understood, even at that time, was my future universe, where I'm going to spend my time while I'm in this body, in what space I'm going to be in, it was like there were these congruent lines of decisions, okay, I could make in my life. If I made this decision, then this would happen. All these different choices I had in my future. And my future would have within it blessings. And then sometimes it would just be darkness. And I would see all these things as I was going through it. And I understood that these places where the lines met were my choices. And some of those choices were full of what I call precious gems, gems of great price, gems of understanding, knowledge, what I witnessed in my life to make it be a testimony. I saw these places all along the way in my own universe that I would experience. And then at the very end of that tunnel was a huge wealth of precious gems, like gold, like greater than rubies. But all of this is through the choices and the wisdom that we get from the Lord. It's not physical. It's not monetary gain that we get, but it is all spiritual gain and wonderful riches that we get as we experience our life in this time and space that we occupy. And so anyway, I was at the end of that tunnel. I came out And I was now in the ICU, the intensive care unit at Methodist Hospital. And I was tethered to my body and I couldn't move any further than where I was. I was above it and next to me was an angel. And I knew the angel by name. I called him by name. His name was Peretz. And I didn't know at the time what that name meant, but I do once I started taking Hebrew years later. It's the one who stands in the gap. Hebrew is interesting too, because it also takes, just by changing a little jot or tittle, a vowel sound, you can change that word into an opposite meaning. And so Peretz can also mean, Peretz can mean one who breaks through. And so the one who stands in the gap and the one who breaks through is the one I was talking to. And if you understand, and I didn't know this then, later on I found out that a messianic reference in the Jewish understanding comes from Malachi, where he says that the Son of Righteousness comes with healing in his wings. And it also says that, you know, he's the breaker, where he breaks through. It's the breaker that breaks through. It's a messianic reference of the Messiah. That is a very interesting aspect that I found later, that it wasn't just an angel, but it was the angel of the Lord that appeared to me. And somebody said, well, you can't see God. And if you do, you die. And I said, well, yeah, I was dead. So I couldn't really see his face, actually, because there was so much light radiating from it that you knew there was a face behind that light. But it was beautiful. And we were able to communicate. And he told me that this was the mandate that you mentioned, that I was to go back, because I really didn't want to. I wanted to go see my child. I said, where's my baby? He says, he's on the lap of the Father. He says, but you're going to go back and you're going to go through that time and space, you know, that continuum, that time continuum that is already designed for your life. And you're going to experience all these things in real time. And I said, well, that's okay. I really like it here. I tried to reason with him. So I really want to stay. And he says, no, it's been ordained. These gifts are irrevocable. You're going to receive all that God has planned for you. And you're going to teach others what you understand. I had no choice. And then he says, besides this, the Lord has granted the prayers of the saints that are praying for you. I found out later, there were all kinds of prayer vigils and intercessors that were praying for me at that point in time. So I felt myself being brought back. I woke up a little bit later.
Those of us who've been brought up with the Western worldview often discount the supernatural world. Yes, we believe in God, probably even angels and demons, but we have a hard time believing that the supernatural world impacts or is active in our lives. But it is. The supernatural world is very real, and the occult is not harmless fun and games. You will experience very real consequences in the natural if you open that door in your life, like Saul did when he visited the Witch of Endor, a woman who knew the power of the supernatural world but was on the wrong side. If you already have opened that door in some way, there's a very effective remedy. I already mentioned it. James 4 verse 7 tells us, submit yourself to God, which includes repentance and removal, if necessary, of occultic items. Then you can resist the devil and he will flee. When we focus on our great and loving God, we do not need charms or crystals or fortune tellers or magic. Put your full trust in the Lord to guide you and to lead you, even through painful times. He will never leave you or forsake you. I invite you now to agree with me in prayer. Father, you are God Almighty, creator of all things. You, by your power, hold all things together. We adore you, God. And we trust you with our lives, with our futures. Father, we submit ourselves to you again. And Lord, I ask you to reveal to my dear listeners any way they may have opened an occult door in their lives. Give them wisdom how to close that door. Lead them, Holy Spirit, to repent of past involvement and rid themselves of anything that is an open door for satanic attacks. Then give them courage to stand firm, resist the devil. And we thank you that we know he will flee. It is at the name of Jesus that every knee bows in the seen and the unseen world. Thank you for giving us spiritual armor so we can stand against the wiles of our enemy, the devil. So now we put on the belt of truth. With it, we have discernment to know truth from lies. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is a sign of our right standing with you and our authority as your children. We shod our feet with the peace that comes from the good news, so we are fully prepared each day. That peace also guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We hold up the shield of faith and extinguish every fiery dart of the enemy. We put on the helmet of salvation and we fix our mind and eyes on you, Jesus, which destroys doubt and allows us to take every rebellious thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. We also joyfully pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is your powerful word. And we declare right now, Isaiah 54:17, which says, "No weapon turned against us will succeed, and every voice that accuses us will be silenced." Thank you again, Father, for equipping us to live as overcomers in you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. Check out the show notes at hergodstory.org for scriptures and other information we talked about. And remember to get your free 6-week devotional on Women of the Bible. We'd also love to pray with you on our 24/7 prayer and text line. So give us a call or text anytime at 855-459-CARE or email us at prayer@somebodycares.org. And now, dear friends, I leave you with a key to abundant life from Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. You have the choice between life and death, between blessings and cursings. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life.
Her God Story is a ministry of Somebody Cares America and International. To find out more about or support the ministry, go to somebodycares.org.